all owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. The mission of American Warrior Radio is to bridge the gap of understanding between those who protect us at home and abroad and the rest of us. When it comes to these subjects, May is a very busy month. May is National Military Appreciation Month. May 4th is International Firefighters Day. And the week of May 12th through 18th is National Police Week. A lot of stuff to cover. Today, we're going to focus on the men and women who wear the badge of a law enforcement officer. Now, this is a topic for regular listeners who know that is close to my heart. When I went to college, I enrolled as a criminal justice major. I was inspired by a member of our church who was a police officer and a very, very good man. 3 years into my course of study and after spending a great deal of time in the field, I realized I didn't have what it takes to be a police officer. Sometimes in life, it's just important to learn, what you shouldn't do as to finding your true calling. I wasn't willing to do it, to wear a badge, to take the oath, which is why I feel strongly that we must support those who are and who did. I recently read an excellent editorial on the Los Angeles riots. The author emphasized how much of our social structure depends on the assumption that a majority of the civilian population maintains a respect for law and order and those who are appointed to preserve that balance. In the case of Los Angeles, what can happen when that thin blue line is overwhelmed? Joining me in studio today is Sherry Graham Potter. She's the Vice President of Recruitment for the Concerns of Police Officers Survivors, Arizona Chapter. Did I get that right, Sherry?
Yes, you did.
Okay. And on the phone, Dave Bray. Dave is a Navy veteran and a national touring musician, singer, and songwriter. Dave has dedicated his musical career to supporting veterans, active duty military, fire, police, and first responders. We like to call him the Rock and Roll Patriot. Dave, let's start with you. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio.
Great to be here, Ben. Sherry, thanks for joining me today. That's awesome. I'm glad we get to finally talk again since the last time I spoke with you.
Absolutely. It's great to talk to you.
Wait, you guys have met?
Yes.
Well, I've done numerous events for Concerns of Police Survivors. A lot of people don't understand this is a huge national organization. They have different groups from state to state that is all involved with supporting the families of the fallen law enforcement after obviously the worst thing that could happen to a family happens. So it's a great organization. I love supporting them. I'm very fond of what they do.
Dave, that you'll understand then the conversation we had here in the studio before we went on the air, when my producer came in and said that you were on the phone, Sherry kind of gave me this look like we're going to let that guy on the show. So I guess because you all have met before. So
I hope it was a good look, Sherry.
Of course it was.
Dave, let's start with you. You're a former Navy corpsman, so it's pretty clear and easy to understand your support for the military and the veterans. But what inspires you to also include your support of first responders?
You know, I think it's just the civilian climate towards how that we treat our law enforcement. Even myself as a young man was not exactly too fond of law enforcement. I didn't really know why. I just thought, well, they're the ones who are out sort of after me when I'm speeding, when I'm doing something wrong. 9 out of 10 of us are not driving within the law when we're on the roads. You know what I mean? And as a kid, I got nipped a few times. It is what it is. But, you know, I think in general, there's a big confusion as to what the real job of a law enforcement officer is. And I was even one of those people. So I wanted to push into that. I wanted to create awareness with that. My music has been used for, like you said, military support, fire, police support, first responder support, that kind of thing. And obviously the military thing works, but the first responder thing is important to me because I think that there's a lot of civilians out there that just don't understand why our police are even here. They just look at them as somebody in uniform and they're automatically the bad guy.
Bingo. And we're going to spend this whole show talking about that and hopefully touching on some of those themes. Your CD, Music on a Mission, last time we talked to you, which is almost a year ago, Dave, the album, the CD, hadn't quite come out yet, but it debuted at number 6 on the iTunes rock charts.
Yep.
This is sort of a storytelling album, isn't it, Dave? Explain to our listeners what you mean by that.
Sure. It's a new take on basically it listens like a movie. I wanted to create something that was a little bit more adult, not just me writing song after song after song, there's so much more meaning and I feel power and insight that comes when you can actually listen to that artist and get in that artist's mind. I really got into watching storyteller artists and things like that. So I wanted to do that in an album format, just like a studio album. So all the songs are like high quality professional studio tracks like you'd hear on every other record. And then the rest of it is like a storyteller album. It's basically like an audiobook, which is done, again, really well. And it's me telling you about what each song is about or where I got the inspiration from that song or why that song is on the record. So, again, it's I believe the first of its kind to be a storyteller album. Back in the 40s, they used to just sort of drop the needle on the record and let at the studio be recorded and you'd hear everybody talking. But this is actually a little bit more applied to exactly what is happening for each song. It's very much orchestrated to every song individually. And, again, the stories that go along with them. It's really neat to, again, get in on the inside of the artist's mind of why and how he wrote the songs. And that's what I wanted to do with the record. So it's called Music on a Mission by Daybreak USA. It's available on iTunes. Keeps popping its head up on the charts every now and again.
Sherry, the part of, like I said, I don't want to say I've had a relationship, but we've had Dave on the show before. And what's really, I don't want to say inspired me because it's very touching, but his song Last Call.
Yes.
Have you, I'm assuming you've heard it.
I have. We were together at the National Conference in Chicago in November, and Dave Bray brought a whole lot of very seasoned, very, let's say, non-emotional police officers to tears with that song. And so I saw the impact that it had on everyone that was at that conference when he played that for us. So it's a pretty intense song. And it elicits a lot of emotion from a lot of people.
Well, sure. Let's get this out of the way right off the bat then. Tell us about your husband.
My husband, Tim, was a deputy for the Pima County Sheriff's Department. In 2005, on August 10th, he was dispatched to a call of a disturbed individual who was creating a scene at a convenience store. Tim made contact with this gentleman. His name was Aaron Swires. He had just been released from the mental unit at Keno Hospital. He was also self-medicating with methamphetamine. He was very combative. Tim tried to handcuff him, got one cuff on. The gentleman broke away from Tim, ran out into traffic, was trying to gain access to some vehicles at the intersection. Tim caught up with him in the median. A pretty intense struggle ensued. A taxi cab driver pulled over and got out of his vehicle, attempted to help Tim subdue this gentleman. The fight rolled into the street, and an unsuspecting man driving a truck hit all three men, and all three men died on the scene.
One of the things I've heard in response to Dave's song, Last Call, was from the survivors, the family members, the fellow officers, and how they thank Dave and comment about how, you know, I didn't get to hear that last call. And by writing and performing this song, you're adding a music notes. You're adding our voice. You're giving us a voice. Was that your first feeling or response when you heard his song?
Oh, absolutely. And the last call at the memorial service of an officer is probably one of the most difficult aspects of that service. It is, especially from the law enforcement perspective, that's when I really finally saw all of Tim's squad mates and all of the people that he worked with really break down when they hear that last call, when they're signed off the radio. So, I had that a very, very similar response when I heard Dave sing that song. But it was amazing. It really was, and it really connects people.
Now, Dave, this has been out almost a year now. You perform regularly around the country. I'm guessing this is not the first time you've heard this kind of a feedback from a surviving spouse.
Yeah. First off, Sherry, you know, our condolences for Tim. And that song is exactly how that song came about from me hearing a last call that was sent to me. And you're right. I basically have heard, I would say, countless different stories and testimonials of families who have just completely gravitated to that song because, again, the words to the song are the final words of a law enforcement officer back to his family, his wife, his kids, and his brothers and sisters in blue. And I think if I can, I guess I can sort of imagine, you know, one day all of a sudden the head of your household just is gone, you know, and or your brother that you've driven around in a car with or seen at the office every single day or, you know, have spoken to on a, you know, regular basis, are friends with outside of the office, you know, fellow coaching and, you know, mates and just friends in general, all of a sudden it's gone, or your dad is just all of a sudden gone. There is no words. It's everything is an echo. Everything feels like an echo. It's hollow. It's plain. It's thin compared to the real thing. And again, like, I feel like because of the words and how they were arranged on last call, that those families were given in a sense that non-hollow, non-echoey response, you know, tell my wife I love her, you know what I mean, and that I'm sorry, and tell my kids that, you know, I'll always be watching over them, and tell my brothers and sisters that I serve with that, you know, I got this, man, just raise a glass for me and move on and stay in the fight. And, you know, those are the hardest stories that I've gotten, the ones from the families, from the kids, who said, you know, I never got to hear my daddy's last words and you gave them to me. Or a widow who says, you know, I never got to hear my husband's last words and you have given them to us and to our family. And you don't realize the power of music until somebody says something like that.
Dave, well spoken. I tell you, you got in the studio here, we're all getting chills. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the concerns of police survivors and what they do. And then I'm just going to pick Sherry and Dave's brain a little bit about what they think is going on in our country right now with regard to our communities and our men and women in blue. Stick around. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. What you just heard is just a sample of the song Last Call by Dave Bray. You can find out more at DaveBrayUSA.com. And I tell you, folks, I know it's radio. You can't see what's going on here in the studio, but both Sherry and I are having a hard time. Dave, before we took the break, you talked about how this song has allowed you to put a voice to the survivors of families of police officers who have given their lives in the line of duty. So far in 2019, 36 of our police officers have given their lives supporting our community. Sherry, let me start with the story. So a couple of years ago, I was visiting a local city council office doing my day job business. And there was a Pima County Sheriff's Department officer sitting on his motorcycle out under a tree, which was unusual because it was within the city limits. So I walked in, and I just mentioned to the reception, I said, there's a deputy out there under the tree. Her face went ashen, and I did not realize that her husband was a Pima County deputy, and, of course, she thought he was there to give a notification. And thankfully, that wasn't the case.
Oh,
but
goodness.
Tell us, you know, Dave touched on the song and what that's doing for survivors. The courage to carry on after the notification, however it may come. Tell us a little bit briefly about what COPS does and how your organization helps those family members, coworkers, people to survivors to move on.
Absolutely. Well, for the first week after you lose a spouse in the line of duty, you are absolutely consumed with getting the services put together, and there are just a plethora of people in and out of your home, and you really don't spend even a minute alone, and there are officers who drive you wherever you need to go, and so you're absolutely surrounded by people for this entire 7 or 8 days. And then a day after my husband was buried, I walked outside to get the paper, and I realized I was completely alone. And it was at that moment that I realized, I don't know what I'm going to do next. How do I put the pieces of our lives back together?
And you, there's children as well.
Yes, yes. Yeah. My sons were 7 and 10 at the time. And I just didn't know how we were going to put this family back together. And so that was when a friend of mine introduced me to Concerns of Police Survivors. And that changed my life. It was a life-changing moment. When I realized that there were other people who had been through what I had, but the really remarkable thing to me was these people were fully functioning and happy and had found joy in their lives. Some of them were remarried. And that gave me so much hope for my future and for the future of my children. And that is the mission of Concerns of Police Survivors.
And where can people who are listening now or who know somebody, they can find out more at?
CopsArizona.org, or the national organization is ConcernsOfPoliceSurvivors.org.
Dave, when did you first become aware of this organization? And you know, let me back up a little bit, Dave, because I was never a musician. I played the trumpet, but I was never good enough to call myself a musician. But I do understand the power of song and storytelling in song. Do you, when you're out performing at organizations, particularly law enforcement or first responder organizations, and you perform this song, Dave, I'm curious, do you feel like for those few minutes you're taking on the mantle, you're taking on the burden in order to remove it from those folks hearing the song?
Well, I don't really know how to answer that, because I have to tell you that every time that I've played it, especially in some of the more intimate settings where there are families of fallen law enforcement in-house, or the entire audience is made up of, you know, basically Gold Star families, or, you know, families who have lost law enforcement, I don't know what it is. I don't know that there's a word for it. But to be able to get from point A to the song to the end of the song, and to try to get through it, I guess, is a really good way to put it, is the hardest part. Because when you can actually hear the weeping, or hear the, you know, or feel the emotion, I mean, music is a two-way street, right? It's like, I'm just like Bob Seger said, try to give away every ounce of energy that you can on that stage. And it's the same thing. And when they're giving it and responding with the amount of energy that is so, I don't know how to put it. It's, I feel like it is a dump. I feel like everybody's just dumping at one time. And, there's something to be said about it. I don't know how to put it into words. I wish I did, but all I can tell you is that it is probably one of the hardest things I've had to do in a performance before. I mean, singing the Star Spangled Banner is difficult live, but to be able to get through without getting fully emotional when you're staring at a, you know, 8 or 10 year old child and he's looking up with you and his eyes are just streaming. How do you get through? How do you finish? And I don't know if that's me taking on to get through. I'm showing you how I'm soldiering on, same way I'm hoping that they'll learn to soldier on, I guess. That's the best way to put it.
Sherry, you're living, breathing evidence that there is hope, that there is moving on, and your organization helps people to do that. But how do you feel about when you're – I guess I'm picturing when Dave's on stage and we're at, for example, a national convention – and is there that group strength that comes out in your combined sorrow? And I'm assuming at some point you've got different degrees of loss,
right?
You know, some for whom, like in your case, it's been almost a decade, others for whom it's still painfully fresh. And you've got about 50,000 members around the country. So I'm assuming there's that combined support system and strength, but I mean, not just on the internet or through the programs, but when you're right there next to each other, holding each other.
Oh, I think it's a cathartic moment, I think, for survivors of, you know, wherever they are in that journey, whether they're brand new to it, whether it just happened, or whether we're 20 years down the road, it still elicits such a strong response. But the thing is, I think what is so powerful about that organization and the fact that they have so many people, we're there forever. We are there for the survivors as long as they need us, and that is what sort of sets us apart from a lot of the different organizations who come in initially and offer a lot of support, but everybody eventually goes away. Concerns of Police Survivors never goes away. We offer so many different types of programs, healing programs, especially the programs for the children are something that I'm really, really passionate about. And the other one that I have a lot of passion for is the one for the coworkers, because they're family members too.
It's okay. It's a directional mic. We're good, and I understand. It's a tough conversation. Dave, one of the, and I tell you, I love the word, you use the word mission. If someone goes to your website, Dave Bray USA, and listens to your songs, being a former military, Navy Corpsman, the word mission has a very distinct meaning to you. Being the host of American Warrior Radio, that has a mission as well. I love the fact that you do that. When you're out there, we talk about the families, but you, last time we talked about a year ago, Dave, you said something very interesting to me, and I want to repeat that now. You said, many of our virtues are being sucked into cell phones and internet. What do you see that as part of your mission, Dave, to also then speak to the rest? Because this is where I want to take the rest of the show is, let's talk about the relationship right now between first responders and our communities and what we can do out there to try and help. I don't want to say patch things, but our nation is in a very trying time right now. Do you, Dave, do you see yourself as being on your mission, being helping to solve those wounds, or what? Give us your take on that.
Well, I think cell phones are it's such a double-edged sword, right? I mean, they can be used for good or they can be used for evil. It's like the good Superman and the bad Superman. It's so powerful, such a great tool if you have the right message, again. And that's where I try to really, really lean on the good side. You know, in our lives period, I don't care who you are. Nobody's the walking Christ on this planet. We all have our good days, our bad days of what's, you know, what we should be doing. And even in my mission, I'm not perfect. I mean, I would love for me to be able to stand up and say that every day I live in this way. And I do. I do my best to do that. But I fail. I think we all fail. And we should be a little bit more honest with that failure so that other people see that. And to be a little bit more human in our social media relationships so that other people see it. And one of the things I feel like is being used negatively by social media is people editing videos, like you said, of law enforcement, and they are creating a narrative that just is not true. And so, just like last or two weekends again ago, we did something in our community. It was for St. Baldrick's, and we started auctioning off the police officers getting their heads shaved. So, any kind of community relationship that is bringing people together or bringing a connection to our police officers, without it being a pullover or a feeling of hostility, any kind of relationships, the more relationships that we can build around our law enforcement, around our first responders that are passive, that are done in good things, not in an emergency situation or in a high-stress situation, but as a community, understanding that those men and women in blue that are in badges, at our carnivals, at our fairs, that are, you know, they're looking for the bad guys. And the chances are, if you're walking around, you see one of those law enforcement officers, the chances are, if you're getting a pit in your stomach and you're worried about what that guy is doing or if that guy's checking you out, you're that bad guy. So check yourself. And you know, I would love – I'm all over the place because I drank way too much coffee right before this interview. But what I want to try to say is, you know, social media can be used for good. It can be used for bad. When you see this stuff about police officers, don't jump on the bandwagon. When you see these men and women in blue, thank them, just like you would thank anybody in the military, because our home front right now, where we stand as a nation – we are losing more law enforcement every year, every single year we use since, I don't know, 2012 or 13 or so. We've lost more law enforcement officers right here on our own soil than we've lost men and women serving all over the globe to the global war on terror or any other war, small war, whatever. We've lost more law enforcement officers. So the war is right here on our home soil. And I want you to understand that those men and women are blue, are fighting that battle so that you don't have to.
Dave,
and show your appreciation.
Dave Wellspuck, when we come back, we're going to follow up on that thought a little bit more. Folks, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, right here on American Warrior Radio. Stick around. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. It's National Police Week coming up next week. We're talking with Sherry Graham Potter, who is with the Concerns of Police Survivors Arizona chapter, is joining us in studio. And on the phone, we have Dave Bray, the rock and roll patriot, who although, I shouldn't say although, he is a Navy veteran. I didn't mean to insinuate that, Dave, but just one of the strongest advocates out there for those in uniform, whether it be a military uniform or a police uniform or even a fireman's uniform or first responders. Dave, before we took the break, you touched on, and I want to kind of just do a round table here with the two of you and talk about the challenges that our men and women in blue, or in this case, tan, if they're a Pima County Sheriff's Department, are facing, and how things have changed a little, not a little bit, I want to say a lot here. Dave, you actually used the phrase last time we talked a year ago that you believe there's a war on cops out there. I get the impression from your statement your opinion hasn't changed that much a year later, huh?
Not at all. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. Again, I go back to my mission as a musician. I'm just trying to bring respect back because, you know, I even, like I said, walked a failed life for a long time. I lost some respect for our law enforcement. And, you know, I think if we could get back to that just mutual respect among each other as humans, whether the color, the race, or the creed, or the religion, it doesn't matter. If we can get back to respecting each other, listening to each other, you know, it's going to make our lives and our children's lives a lot better place. And if we can start doing what's best for our children in this nation and in this world, then everything else will fall into place. And I'm still a firm believer. Yes, the war is still on. It's still in our country. And we need to step up and fight it with our hearts and with prayer and, you know, with respect.
Let me share a quote here. At times, it feels like the forces pulling us apart are stronger than the forces binding us together. Too often we judge other groups by their worst examples while judging ourselves by our best intentions. And this has strained our bonds of understanding and common purpose. Those words came from President George W. Bush when he was speaking at the memorial for the Dallas police officers. Sherry, you know, it's good that we have banquets and we have Thank a Cop Day. Those are all great things. But what can we and our listeners do on a daily basis to support the men and women of law enforcement out there? I kind of chuckled when Dave said, you know, if you're the guy that gets the pit in his stomach, Dave, that's me every time, I'll confess. What sorts of things, based on your relationship and your action with the law enforcement community out there, Sherry, are there things that we can do? Is it putting a sticky note on a police car saying, thanks, stay safe, or what? Give us some ideas.
Any of those things. Buy them a coffee if you see them at a coffee shop. Just stop by their table when you see them at a restaurant. Honestly, my husband now is a law enforcement officer, and there's nothing that means more to him than somebody within the community that just puts a hand on his shoulder when he's sitting there eating his dinner and says, thank you for what you do. They don't get that very much anymore. They the blowback they get, the divisiveness that we have in this country now, they feel it. And I truly believe there's a correlation between that and the rising suicide rate we're seeing in law enforcement. And that's in the last couple of years has just skyrocketed. In fact, there have been more suicides for law enforcement officers this year than those killed in the line of duty. And I really believe there's a direct correlation between the two. They get no respect in their communities on many different levels. They're expected to parent children. But then if they don't do it in the way that people agree with, then they're demonized. And so we're not parenting our own children, and then we're sending them out and expecting law enforcement to do it. But then we take issue with that. And these guys are put in an absolutely impossible position day in and day out. So if you can thank them, buy them a coffee. A lot of times if I see someone in Starbucks, if I see a couple officers in Starbucks or whatever, I'll buy a couple $5 gift certificates and hand them to it on the way out. These are just important things. They need to know that the community respects them and understands what they do. And it's the little things that really, really make a difference.
Dave, something you said before the break really struck me, and I want to pick your brain on this a little bit. Things have changed. So nowadays, you know, we have police officers wearing body cameras. Everybody has a video, high-definition video camera in their pocket now. And before the break, you talked about how we need to be more patient, how people will take videos of an incident out of context or even the body cams out of context, and right away the first reaction is to attack the police officers. As a rock star yourself, you're used to sort of living in a fishbowl. What is your – follow up on that thought, if you would, Dave. Tell us more about how you would caution people to not jump to conclusions and to assume the best rather than the worst right off the bat, if that is even possible.
Well, I think what you touched on about the video, people are more concerned, again, about capturing that video so they can get it uploaded, so they can get the views on YouTube like it's money. You know what I mean? Like, views are money, likes are money. It's some sort of currency. And that currency and that quest for currency is what is dehumanizing us. It's taking our virtues away. We're too concerned about what is happening on a little foreign screen than what is really happening in the current situation, or capturing what is happening in the current situation. You know, Sherry touched on the fact of the suicide number, or the suicide rate in law enforcement is absolutely unbelievable. I want to say again, it's like higher than the number of veterans. I know we were wrapping ourselves around the veteran community and supporting the 22 a day, but I honestly believe that we're close to that. You know, now with our law enforcement, it's crazy, or people that have served in law enforcement. And again, I'm getting involved with an organization called Blue Help, and Blue Help is suicide awareness and suicide support. But they're also trying their hardest to get and they're advocates for the benefits for the families, again, for these law enforcement officers who are put in situations where they feel like they are forced to make a decision, an eternal decision, unfortunately, and they end up losing the battle to suicide. So, again, Blue Help is one of the organizations I've been supporting, along with concerns of police survivors. But I think in general, as human beings, we're losing what is human about us because of these things that we are carrying around with us every single day in every place that we go. You know, I'm losing comfort, and I'm losing a lot of faith in the humanity of people just in the watching of how we're raising our kids. Some kids are getting 8 to 12 hours of screen time a day. What are we teaching them? What kind of communication skills? Soon, human-to-human communication will be so rare that it'll be a hot commodity. It'll be something that's completely valued and used in a different way, and it will have its own form of currency because you know how to communicate human-to-human. It's very strange. It is very interesting to watch. I don't know that anybody's run the timeline out or if sociologists have put it all together yet, but there's a lot of interesting stuff out there about it. But what I can tell you is that it's not helping humanity in any way, shape, or form.
Dave, something else that I found interesting, you as a veteran yourself, as a Navy corpsman, I'm just a firm believer in my many years on this planet that context is so important. You know, the context of those videos were at first, oh, you know, bad, bad cop. Well, then we see the whole video and well, wait a minute, slow down. You know, the full context completely turns the situation on its head. The context of our society and our communities nowadays, too, for example, you know, most recently we had another terrible shooting. And in the video of that shooting, you see the students running one way and you see the men and women in blue running toward the danger. And Dave, you had talked once about how, and I don't know if this is a concern or just an observation of yours, how more and more with active shooter situations and some of these mass shootings now, police officers are having to be trained more almost like a military unit rather than those community policing, you know, officer friendly sort of thing out there.
Right. I mean, not every officer had a car back in the day. Not every officer needed a bulletproof vest back in the day. Those just was for the SWAT guys. Now, every officer that's on the street, 9 out of 10 of them are wearing full body armor. They're wearing body cameras. They're I don't know if you've ever seen one of their bat belts, but it's loaded. It's loaded up with, you know, taser. You got full, you got, you know, strong arm. You have everything else in there. You have, you know, spray. You have all these different weapons. And it's starting to look more and more like a militant body kit that you would take into battle, because every single day these men and women are absolutely standing on the front lines. At any given time, you can't trust society anymore to walk up to somebody and just say, hey, how's it going today? If you're a law enforcement officer, you have to be on your toes, completely vigilant, eyes in the back of your head. Plus, you got to watch everybody else out there as well. It's an incredibly difficult job. They're having a very difficult time filling positions. Guys, like you said, men and women that have just, to the stresses of the job, they're taking their own lives. They're losing the battle to suicide. There is a serious situation, because once that blue line crumbles, once our law enforcement is gone, we as a nation will not be able to know anything but a military, because that is what is going to have to be brought in to keep the peace. we're already at border. I mean, there's so many issues right now between the border that is being completely overrun, call it passively, call it however you want to call it, but they are coming here in a lawless manner. That's lawlessness. And our Border Patrol is overrun. Our men and women who are just working the beat every single day, they're overworked, they're overtired, they're overstressed, they're overburdened with the amount of policy that they have to adhere to. Their rules of engagement at home, they're not allowed to do their jobs, not allowed to touch anybody unless certain things have to unfold. It's just an unbelievable amount of bureaucracy standing in the way of what needs to be done in this country to keep civil, keep peace. And what is being forced upon our men and women of law enforcement? It's the exact same thing that gets our men and women killed overseas, our rules of engagement, because you can't just smother the situation with strength. You have to tiptoe around and make sure that certain things are done and said in order for you to take action to protect yourself. And that shouldn't be the way it is as a law enforcement officer. So I got a lot of issues right now going on in my head. I got a lot of issues with this nation. I don't know how we're all going to fix them in an hour, but
have some more coffee, Dave.
I know that you're trying, Ben. I appreciate it.
No worries. Sherry, before on the break, we were talking about this challenge with recruitment, and you said something that struck me. You said, I wouldn't want my kids to be a police officer.
No, my husband and I talk about it all the time. My husband is a pilot with Tucson Police Department, and we have three boys who are in their 20s, and we have both really, really encourage them to stay as far away from law enforcement as they can, because in his 26-year career, he's just watched that job get more and more dangerous. And unfortunately, the command staff is not having the back of these officers. And so they're going out there and their careers are being ruined. And a lot of it is because they're allowing the community to drive them out when they just merely did their jobs.
I was reading and preparing for the show. I read there was someone who was speaking at a convention of police chiefs, 400 police chiefs in the room. And he asked, how many of you, by a show of hands, would recommend that your children go into law enforcement? Not a single hand was raised. 66% of those police chiefs said they're having trouble recruiting people. And it's kind of like, the quote, if you want to be liked, be a firefighter. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. I'm joined in studio by Sherry Graham Potter. We've got the rock and roll patriot Dave Bray on the phone. One more segment coming up. Stick around. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking about the upcoming, not just the upcoming National Police Week, but just in general about the Thin Blue Line. I'm joined in studio by Sherry Graham Potter. She is the Vice President of Recruitment for Concerns of Police Survivors Arizona Chapter. And on the phone, we have the rock and roll patriot Dave Bray, who's got a very, very powerful CD out there now. You can find it on iTunes. You can also check out DaveBrayUSA.com. It's just sort of a narrative of patriotic songs and songs to support both the veterans and our first responders. Before we took the break, we touched on how it's getting harder and harder to recruit police officers. And it struck me, Sherry, combining the two issues now with body cams. And I've had guests on before and I've asked them, are body cams a good thing or a bad thing? And the response was generally they're a good thing because they help resolve now some of these conflicts where people were making accusations that weren't quite true. And in fact, I like to chuckle. As I told you, my wife and I love watching these body cam shows on TV. And it's always usually the drunk city council person who starts off with, do you know who I am? And you see that on the camera, it's like, okay, this is not going to go well. But you also said, I can't imagine now that I'm a good guy. I want to become a law enforcement officer. But then there's the practical reality of I'm now in a fishbowl. Everything that I do, everything I say is being critiqued. And conceivably, I could be a police officer who ends up in jail.
Right.
I can't imagine. Well, let me ask you the question more directly. Do you believe or do you get a sense from some of the law enforcement officers out there that now they, because of the situations, they're being overly cautious and that's putting themselves and our communities at risk?
Oh, 100%. And I will tell you this. My husband is a police pilot, and so he flies a helicopter. He has told me multiple times that he's seen officers hesitate to take action on the ground, and there is no way that that's not in correlation to the fact that they know that they're being scrutinized. You know, it's unfortunate. I think the body cams are a good thing on many, many levels, and actually the people screaming most for them, I'm hearing now, don't want them anymore because it's exonerated more police officers than it has condemned, essentially.
Well, good.
Yeah, I totally agree. But on the other scope of that, people going into law enforcement, who wants to be scrutinized 24/7? I can't even imagine having everything that I do in my 10-hour shift watched by somebody. And now they're putting governors on the car, and they're getting called into internal affairs if they accelerate too quickly. I mean, they are just being absolutely scrutinized everything that they do every day, and I think it really interferes with their ability to do the law enforcement job.
Dave, when you're out there and after you perform, I'm so curious if because of your, I mean, you're an advocate, you're a supporter, but you're not a cop. Do sometimes officers themselves take you aside and say, you know, here's what I really think, or Dave, here's what we're really going through?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why, but I've, like I said, formed many bonds with a lot of law enforcement. I think a lot of it is because of the sort of the military and the veteran relationship, and then carrying on that continuation of service in the civilian sector obviously feels probably very similar to what they are doing and the mentality that they have to carry every single day. But Sherry hit on it perfectly, and that hesitation is the same hesitation that gets men and women killed overseas. And it may not be your hesitation that gets you killed, but it may be the hesitation that you had that gets your partner killed or gets a child killed because you didn't take action or gets, a woman or, you know, whatever. You hesitate because you're worried about the bureaucracy and sitting in an office taking an ass chewing instead of doing your job to react and be the voice of reason or the voice of peace in a situation and somebody gets killed or hurt. Then you got to go home and live with that for the rest of your life. And that resentment, and I'm sure every reason for, you know, law enforcement suicide has its own purpose. But what I'm saying is those hesitations grow into other things. If you can't go out there and do your job to the best of your ability, that's like it's like putting the shackles or a muzzle on a dog that's meant to fight. I mean, it is what it is. We have to look at what it is. These men and women are up against warriors. They are up against absolute savages on a daily basis, and they need to be able to know that they can make the right decision at the right time, train them to do that, and then protect themselves.
And Dave, I'd be remiss, and your wife is going to hate me if I don't mention that Dave Bray, I think, is an honorary deputy in Colorado Springs, right?
That's right. I'm a card-carrying badge member, honorary sheriff's deputy. I don't know. I think they give that to 10-year-olds, but still, I got a badge. I look pretty cool when I wear it.
There you go. Just from my perspective and my day job, the other threat that we're facing is the lack of leadership, whether that's at the civilian level or not, and budgets. So let me just read a piece to you, February 13, 2019, Tribune News Service. Martin County Sheriff John Kirk took the stage without invitation at a fiscal court meeting Monday and railed about the budgetary strains affecting his office. Kirk paced back and forth, complaining he had not yet received a $75,000 payment that the fiscal court should have been delivered in January. As a result, Kirk, this is the county sheriff, announced Monday that he has temporarily ceased all law enforcement services provided by his office. He has laid off the office bookkeeper, limited hours from 8 a.m. to noon on weekdays, and the responsibility now falls solely to the Kentucky State Police, which sometimes has just one officer patrolling multiple counties in the mountainous corner of East Kentucky. Sherry, does that scare you as much as scares me?
It should scare everybody. The thing is, you know, when we lose police officers, it will just be anarchy, and in a very, very short period of time. We need to find a way to respect them. We need to give them back the ability to do their jobs. We need to reinstate respect for law enforcement in this country, and I think that is a drop in the bucket of what's to come if we don't make some very, very strong changes in this country.
Dave, we're kind of running out of time here, so last thoughts from you. You're out there talking to the next generation. Do you I think both you and I are somewhat cynical and jaded, but I think we're also very hopeful. Do you think we need to skip a generation? Is that part of what you're doing on your mission out there, talking to the these young people and trying to rebuild that respect again?
I do believe that we need to have instill more of a relationship in our youth and our law enforcement on a daily basis so that they understand that these guys are good guys. Yes, I am speaking and seeing a lot of the youth out there, but there is such a broad spectrum difference between what I hate to say, good kids and bad kids. I'd like to say that all kids are good, but they're just not. There's a completely different system of upbringing being put against another completely different system of upbringing. And it is completely hedonistic to compare to a good Christian family and what they're trying to bring their kids into. And we're throwing them all together in middle school and high school. It's a recipe for disaster, unfortunately. And we are failing as a generation to do what's right by our children. I've been saying it forever. If we do what's right by our kids in this country, our country will save itself.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for spending time and sharing with us. Again, folks, visit DaveBrayUSA.com. Buy his latest piece of work. I know a piece of work's not good. Just very, very compelling music. And, Dave, thank you for what you continue to do out there. I tell you, I love listening to Last Call. I hate listening to Last Call, and you probably hear that a lot.
You got it. Well, thanks again, Dan. I appreciate you having me on. Just released my video for Into the Fire. Today is National Firefighters, International Firefighters Day. So I wanted to do a video for them. It's called Into the Fire. Check that one out as well on Dave Bray USA on Facebook. And guys, thanks for having me on, Sherry. Much love to you. I hope to see you out at some of the COPS events, okay?
Absolutely. Great to talk to you, Dave.
Dave, keep on keeping on.
God bless.
Sherry, what your rap? No pressure.
Well, with Police Week here, again, I can't encourage you more to just get out and say thank you if you see a police officer on the road. You know, let them know that you appreciate what they do and their families and their sacrifice. And just keep praying for us out there because these guys really need it.
And I will add, folks, elections have consequences. This is not a political show, but in your local communities, wherever you're listening to this, make sure that whoever's making the budget decisions, make sure that they are providing sufficient funding for law enforcement out there. It impacts us all. And what, as you've heard plenty of times on this show today, without them, it is anarchy. It's truly a thin blue line. Let's not let it get any thinner. You can find out more. Visit concernsofpolicesurvivors.org. Again, check out DaveBrayUSA.com. This podcast and over 180 others can be found at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook, American Warrior Radio. We even have a Twitter page at Warrior Radio TUC. If you support what we're doing and you'd like to help us grow the message, visit Patreon.com, patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio. For the less than one cup of coffee a day, you can support our mission and help us expand these important messages. Sherry, Dave, thank you so much for being here on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk to you again next week. Take care.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.